Yeah. శ్రీ శ్రీనివాస్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిథిలీల ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రదగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోవిందాన శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షుర్నిదాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాన్నియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీశాఖాన్వితాం హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద మనోస్తుతే సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే మృతాదేశ్వరీ కృష్ణభోదే దేవీ భగవామి హరిప్రియే వంశకల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీమాతాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణిం భగవతిం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినిం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణిం. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధి హుల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధాగోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్ససుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేళాకుల അശ്വത്ഥാമാമി കർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹര പേദീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവേ വേദൈ സംഗമദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമരാധിയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, we are discussing the 16th chapter, the divine and the demonic nature. We just started that chapter last Sunday. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Abhaya Sattva Samshodhyar, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, Krishna says, Dhanam Dhamaschetnyascha Swadhyaya Tapasa Arjavam. അഹിംസ സത്യം അക്രോധം ത്യാഗശാന്തിരഭയശുനം ദയാഭൂതേഷു അലോലുപ്തം മാർദവം ഹ്രീ അചാപലം തേജക്ഷമാ ധൃതിശൌചം നദ്രോഹോ അതിമാനിത ദൈവീക സമ്പദം ദേവി അഭിജാതസ്യ ഭാരത കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദ വൺ ഹു ആർ ബോൺ വിൻ ദിസ് ഡിവൈൻ നേച്ചർ ഓർ ദി നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് എ ഡിവോട്ടി ദീസ് 26 ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ആർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ സോ ഔട്ട് ടു ദാറ്റ് The first one is Abhayam, isn't it? Abhayam is the first one. So this Abhayam, as you have seen, we have seen before, that Abhayam has got one nature, that the fearlessness don't come from being strong. Fearlessness doesn't come from the physical strength. Fearlessness comes from spiritual understanding or spiritual realization. And that is what we were discussing. That once it's this famous story, as you all know, you have heard it many times, that once Srinara Maharshi went through a village, and therefore there what happened was some boys were, as warned Srinara Muni, don't go into the, near the tree, there is a cobra there, which has been living for a long time, and he frightens everybody who goes there. Srinara Maharshi understood the situation that the children were frightened because of the presence of cobra. So they start, he decided to go and talk to cobra about it. So he goes to the cobra and says to the cobra, invites him, come out, and then he speaks to the cobra and says to the cobra, why you are disturbing people like this? So the cobra says that I had a lot of problems with these children. They're always throwing stones at me. So Narada Maharshi told the cobra that this is not the right way to go. He says to the cobra that I will give you instructions. Narada Maharshi says to the cobra that I will give you some instructions. And you follow this route and there will be no problem anymore. You should not never bite anybody. This was the first instruction he gave to him. Because this is a part of that fearlessness comes from that. And he also told the cobra, and because of that, a moment of association with Srinarada Maharshi, that's what has turned in the life of cobra. If you think that the in the bhakti process, this one important factor is a very main, very important calculation, that is association with great souls like Srinarada Maharshi. That can change the life of anyone. That not necessarily to be human beings. It can be even the from the birds, from the animals, and from the beasts, in any species this can happen. So for the cobra, that's what has happened. In a second, the change has happened in him. The change has happened in the cobra's life. So the cobra decided not to come out and disturb the children anymore. So the cobra stayed back in its hole for a very, very long time. The children thought the cobra has disappeared or cobra died. Cobra died. And because of that, they started playing again in the normal way. After many months, Sri Narada Maharshi comes through that route again. So when he came there, the children said to Sri Narada Muni that the cobra is dead, is not there anymore. Narada Maharshi knew by his own intuition that the cobra is not dead. Normally the snakes live a longer time. So he goes to near the hole where the cobra lived before and started inviting the cobra to come out. The cobra came out from the hole. When the cobra came out from the hole, Narada Maharshi told the cobra, "What has happened? Why have you not been coming out all this time?" The cobra says to Narada Muni that it's all because of your advice that I got into this problem. That you told me that I should not disturb anybody and I should not bite anyone. So I had to stay inside the hole. The result is that they are throwing stones at me and I cannot go out anymore because you have told me not to bite anyone. So Sri Narada Maharshi says to the cobra that I only told you not to bite. But cobras have another way of dealing with it, isn't it? They normally first start hissing. They show their hood and started moving around hissing. And that's enough to frighten the people. So he says, for the protection of oneself, one can do that, to protect oneself in situations like that. The hissing is allowed, but you should not bite anybody. That is exactly, I never told you that you should not be hissing and frightening them. I never told that to you. Narada Maharshi says to the cobra. So you can see, abhayam, this fearlessness, does not mean that we become completely run away from the world. There is no need for that. It is also, important thing is to maintain the steadiness of the mind, not to get disturbed by the activities of this material world and feel that, oh, you have to withdraw from everything. That is not necessary. But at the same time, one has to be cautious not to cause any disturbance to the other side, the other people. So, abhayam is that quality which Krishna is discussing here. How abhayam is important. Sattva samshuddhi, we have seen purification of one's own existence. And then we also discussed what is jnana yoga vyavasthiti means, isn't it? Jnana yoga vyavasthiti. Now, after these three, Krishna talks about what is known as dhanam. Dhanam means charity. Dhanam means charity, isn't it? Now, here, there are certain things to understand about this thing called charity. Now, in the Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to charity, what Krishna says is a lot different than our own understanding of charity. While talking to Uddhava, Krishna says, what is charity means? Krishna's definition of charity is dandanyasa param dhanam, kamatyaga param tapam, svabhava vijayam shaviryam, sattvancha samadarshanam. Krishna says four things there. Dhanam, tapas, shaviryam, and also satyam. What does satyam mean? Let's see what they are. Dandanyasa param dhanam. Krishna says, the greatest charity you can do in this world is not to give any trouble to any other living entity. Just see. We think that charity means shedding a lot of money to a lot of places, isn't it? That's what our understanding of charity in this world, so many organizations doing so many kinds of charities. Krishna says, I have created this world in such a way, your charity is not required really. The world can go on. What actually happens is when we start exploiting each other, that's where all the problem starts. So Krishna's point is, dandanyasa param dhanam, Krishna says, if you don't disturb another living entity in this world, and this dandanam means giving trouble to another living entity by mind, by words, or by your actions, by physically. All these things are a part of that. സോ ദണ്ഡന്യാസപരം ദാനം കാമത്യാഗപരം തപം സ്വഭാവവിജയം ശൗര്യം സത്യഞ്ജ സമദർശനം. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ്. സോ ദണ്ഡന്യാസപരം ദാനം, ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് ചാരിറ്റി അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഗിവിംഗ് എനി ട്രബിൾ ടു അനദർ ലിവിംഗ് എൻറ്റിറ്റി. കൃഷ്ണ കൺസിഡേഴ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ആസ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ചാരിറ്റി വൺ ക്യാൻ പെർഫോം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഡെഫിനിഷൻ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫ്രം all other definitions in the in the other literature in our normal life. Dandanyasa param danam. Similarly, in the same words Krishna says kamastyaga param tapam, the greatest austerity, tapasa, tapasa means austerity, isn't it? So the greatest austerity you can perform is kamatyagam, that means to give up sense gratification. That is the greatest austerity. Krishna does not put such very heavy restrictions on anyone. He makes it simple. But if you understand Krishna's logic in these things, you can see that it now makes sense. Kamathyaga paramtamam. Then swabhava vijayam shauryam. Swabhava vijayam means winning over one's own nature. We all have different nature. Sometimes not very pleasant, sometimes pleasant. But one winning over one's own nature and not affected by that, Krishna says, that is shauryam, that is heroic nature. Hero, a hero is not one who goes and fights with everybody and wins the battle. According to Krishna, one who fights with oneself and gets over his own nature and get over it and able to control the mind, he is the one who is heroic, Krishna says. And what else? Satvanja samadarshanam. Krishna says, one who is truthful in this world is who? Not one who always talks about the truthfulness, or who does things thinking that he is doing in a very truthful way or very earnest and all that. That's not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna says, a person who sees all living entities equally, or in other words, Krishna's presence in every living entity, and able to see that Krishna is present in all living entities in the same way, and see that equality in them, that is samadarshanam. It's called samadarshanam. Krishna says that is satyam, that is truthfulness. So you can see how far away we are from truthfulness. We all think we are very truthful, aren't we? Sometimes we think we are very truthful. But actually, real truthfulness is only when we appreciate or when we achieve this state of truthfulness, what Krishna is talking about. Satyanja samadarshanam. So that is an important statement from the Bhagavatam, which one has to remember while talking about charity. And same thing about charity, Prabhupada writes a few things in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says in the commentary, in the purport, this is in the first three verses, purport, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth paragraph. The next item is charity, Prabhupada says there. The next item is charity. It's a very important thing what Prabhupada has pointed out there. Charity is meant for the householders. The householder should earn a livelihood by an honorable means, and spend 50% of their income to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thus a householder should give in charity to such institutional societies that are engaged in that way. Charity should be given to the right receiver. Charity should be given to the right receiver. There are different kinds of charities, as will be explained later on. Charity in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended by the scriptures, but charity in the modes of passion and ignorance is not recommended because it's simply a waste of money. Charity should be given to only to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is charity in the mode of goodness. That's important. That is charity in the mode of goodness. Later on, the same issue will come up again in the 17th chapter, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. There also, Arjuna will ask this question, charity in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So Krishna talks about that again later. So that's one important point. So coming back to here, dhanam namaste yatnyascha. So we have seen what is dhanam. Dhanam means not to give any pain to another living entity. And dhamam. Dhamam is the next item. Dhamam means control of the senses, isn't it? Control of the senses. So, control of senses and the mind. Shamam is senses and dhammam is the mind. So, Krishna talks about here that control of the mind is this dhammam. So, control of the mind is not so simple, isn't it? I mean, we know how the mind can drag us into difficult situations. One example is spoken in this connection that once a group of children, they were playing with a kind of animal which is called a mongoose. A mongoose is an animal which normally fights with a snake often. So they managed to catch this animal and they put this animal in a cage, a small cage, and there was an access from the cage to run to a tree. So from outside the cage they were poking with this mongoose and they were having the children have all kinds of fun with the animals, so they were trying to play with this mongoose like that. So when they were playing with the mongoose will run away from there and run into a hole in the tree to escape from the children. So later on the children found out that they will tie one stone to the tail of the mongoose. So when he runs into the hole on the tree, it is not able to lift all the way up. It will go a little bit before that it drops back again. So this example is given to tell us that we should have such a control on the mind. When the mind is going away to something, not something which is not Krishna consciousness, or going to other topics in this world which are not related to Krishna consciousness, in other words, which is not of much benefit to us in any way spiritually, that time we should put a brake on the mind to pull it back. Like this stone was pulling the mongoose back from the hole, it falls off. The moment it climbs and comes to the hole, it falls back from there. It cannot go into the hole because of the weight of the stone. So similarly, our effort should be to develop our mind in such a way that the mind does not go out of our control. It is always within the control. It should always stay within the control. That is what Krishna is saying here. Abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vivastati dhanam dhamam. Dhamam is this control of the mind. So, all these things are spoken to make us understand that these qualities are essential for spiritual, for those who are practicing spiritual life. Then after dhamam, what does it next mean? Yajnischa yajnam. Yajnam is important, sacrifice. We have seen many, many instances before Krishna has spoken about yajnam, isn't it? Krishna has spoken about yajnam. That what does yajnam actually mean? Yajnam means anything that is done with the benefit of the society. Anything that is done for the benefit of the society, it is a yajnam. Not with any selfish motive behind it. That is what makes it a yajnam. So, if you look into the third chapter, of Bhagavad Gita, remember we discussed this yajnam very seriously there. There was a lot of things spoken about yajnam and you could see Krishna's enthusiasm in discussing yajnam there. If you have studied that chapter of Karma Yoga properly, you will appreciate the importance of yajnam. It is a very, very important topic what was discussed in the third chapter. Krishna says there, Yajnyarthal karmanonyatra, verse 9 in third chapter. Yajnyarthal karmanonyatra logoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sangha samachara. Krishna says, any action which is performed as a yajnyam, yajnyam means sacrifice, any action which is performed as a yajnam will not bind anyone. And that is the way Krishna expects us to live in this world. Everything should be performed as a yajnam, Krishna says. And not only that, Krishna says in the next verse, if you look, Saha yajnam praja srishtva purovaja prajapati anena prasavishyantum eshavostishtakamadhuk. Krishna says, the results of such yajna karma, the karma which are performed in that way, nobody can say about what will happen because everything that comes out of a yajna is good. In the sense, Yajna Karmam is the process by which you can make your life happy in this world. They say this is an important point Krishna is making there. That if somebody, people want to be happy, or the society wants to be happy in this world, Krishna says it is only possible through sacrifice. Not working hard. That's not what Krishna is saying. Not by working hard. No. Krishna is saying by performing sacrifice. Already Krishna has laid down the rules in the creation how the society should work together. How the society should work together. Krishna has linked us with the demigods, with the devatas, mutually. And that relationship Krishna is explaining here. Sahayajna praja srishtva puravaja prajapati anena prasameshyadva eshavo stishta kamaduk. Then the Brahmadeva or Lord Brahma has created all the living entities with this yajna samskar in them. They are supposed to perform yajna. And he so told them that whatever you need to have in this world, you can acquire them through this. Eshavo stishta kamaduk. All your desires can be satisfied through yajna. Not by, otherwise what will happen is, if you do not follow this process, what Krishna has laid out, we may work hard, we may have results also, but there will be no happiness in life. This will be the result of that. Ultimately, everybody is working for what? To become happy in life, isn't it? They want to be peaceful and happy in life. But happiness won't be there, but you may have a lot of material results. That is what we can see in the society also today, how it is. That Krishna's arrangement is Sahayatya Praja Srishta Puravaja Prajavadi Anena Prasameshwanda Srishtavo Eshavo Srishta Kamadho. That all the desires have to be fulfilled through Yajnam only. No other means. Through Yajnam it has to be fulfilled. And therefore, majority part of the Vedas is only referring to the sacrifices, what is spoken here. As soon as we come to this world, because the samskar we acquire here, and the samskar we have brought with us from previous lifetimes, if they are not in tune with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically there will be a clash there, isn't it? And when the whole society goes away from the principles laid out by Krishna, naturally that's going to cause a lot of difficulties in our life. And this will happen to us in such a large scale. Krishna says here that look at all the other important living entities in this world. When we are talking about living entity, Krishna is talking about, look at even the five material elements, Krishna says. I have created them in such a way that they give you they do everything as a sacrifice. Like the sun, and then the fire, the water, everything. Krishna says, I have created them that they give you everything for your satisfaction. This is how I have created. And in the same verse, after the, in the third chapter, after that verse 11, Krishna says, Devan bhavayatanena, te deva bhavayanduva, parasparam bhavayanda shraya paramavapsyatha. Very important words. Krishna says that devan bhavayadanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shraya paramavapsyatha. Krishna says between yourself and the demigods, devatas, mutually you cooperate. You please the demigods by your sacrifices and let the demigods offer you all the happiness of this world. This is the law of Krishna, that if we want to live happily in this world, Krishna says, this is what we have to do. That is why in spite of so much advancement in science and technology and everything, there seems to be no happiness in the world. That's the only thing what is short of. Everything else is there. Everything is there, but there is no happiness in the world. Why? Because this yajna samskar is missing. The relationship Krishna has graded living entities. We are not the supreme ones. The demigods are higher than us. And they have to be satisfied by we have to please them. It's our responsibility by performing sacrifices. And there is so many sacrifices discussed in the Shastram, which has to be executed. So Krishna says here, Devan bhavayatanina, te deva bhavayanduva, പരസ്പരം ഭാവയെന്ന് മ്യൂച്വലി യു ഹെൽപ് ഈച്ച് അതർ തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഈച്ച് അതേഴ്സ് വെൽഫെയർ കൃഷ്ണൻ സൈസ് യു തിങ്ക് മ്യൂച്വലി സപ്പോസ് പേഴ്സൺ എ തിങ്ക്സ് ദി വെൽഫെയർ ഓഫ് ബി പേഴ്സൺ ബി തിങ്ക്സ് ദി വെൽഫെയർ ഓഫ് എ ഇൻ ദ സെയിം വേ കൃഷ്ണൻ സൈസ് പരസ്പരം ഭാവയെന്ന് ഇഫ് യു ടേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദെൻ ശ്രേയ പരമവാപ്സ്യത ദർ വിൽ ബി ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് that will be the shreyas but it will not happen otherwise that is also krishna's want there so that's an important thing annan bhavanti bhudani parjanya danna sambhava yajna bhavati parjanya yajna karma samudbhavah krishna says annan bhavanti bhudani krishna says all the living entities subsist on food grains isn't it annan bhavanti bhudani and where does the annam where does the annam comes അന്നാദ് ഭവന്തി ഭൂതാനി പർജന്യാദ് അന്ന സംഭവ ഓൺലി ഫ്രം ദ റെയിൻ അന്നം ദി ഫുഡ് വിൽ ഗ്രോ വിതൌട്ട് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഇൻ കൃഷ്ണസ് കൺട്രോൾ അന്നാദ് ഭവന്തി ഭൂതാനി പർജന്യാദ് അന്ന സംഭവ യജ്ഞാൽ ഭവതി പർജന്യോ ബൈ സാക്രിഫൈസ് ഓൺലി ദ റെയിൻ കംസ് യജ്ഞകർമ്മ സമോദ്ഭവ കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് അണ്ടർലൈങ് എവറിഥിങ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി യജ്ഞം ദാറ്റ് കീപ്സ് ദ സിസ്റ്റം ഗോയിങ് ദാറ്റ് കീപ്സ് ദിസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഡിസൈൻ ദ സിസ്റ്റം ഇൻ സച്ച് എ വേ that it can only function in that way. Otherwise, it is not possible. Krishna says there will not be any happiness in this world. So, this process, this thing called yajnam, is important. For a devotee also, it is important. As I mentioned before, yajnam is not purely pouring ghee into the fire and chanting the mantras. All other yajnams also important. Sankirtana yajnam, chanting the holy name is a yajnam. Especially in groups of people together chanting the holy name. That is a yajnam. And Sankirtana yajnam. And so many yajnams like that. All this yajnam is meant for the benefit of the society, for the benefit of the world. Especially in this age of Kali, because of the absence of qualified people, absence of proper ingredients for performing sacrifices, and for various other reasons. The recommended process is Sankirtana Yajnam, of chanting the holy name, Krishna's holy name. That is a process that is recommended in the Vedic literature. So here, when Krishna says this, that is a Yajnam, Krishna is pointing it. Abhaya Sattva Samshundar Jnana Yoga Vivasthadi Nanam Namascha Yajnascha. So Yajnam is referring to that one particular point. Then what is the next one? Swadhyayastava Arjavam Swadhyayam. Swadhyaya means, what does Swadhyaya mean? Swadhyaya means one's effort to know oneself, basically. One's effort to know oneself. And the question we have to ask, have I understood myself, what I am? That question is the most important question to ask. Have I understood who I am, first of all? If I not understood, and that is Swadhyaya. To that search for knowing oneself by studying the Shastram. And contemplation of the Shastram. Studying Shastram and contemplation of that. That is called Swadhyayam. Swadhyayam. One studying oneself and reflecting on it. One's own effort. Not from the spiritual master or not from anybody else, but one's own endeavor to know, to acquire that understanding, spiritual understanding, by studying the Shastram and reflecting on that. That is Swadhyayam. Swadhyayastava Arjavam. Krishna says here that the this Swadhyayam, Swadhyaya Pravajanadvyam, Swadhyayam is spoken like this. Na Pravadhidavyam, Madhradevo Bhava, Pitradevo Bhava, Acharyadevo Bhava. In the Upanishads, that is how it is mentioned about Swadhyayam. So, Swadhyayam is important for an individual who is trying to advance on the spiritual path. Without all these things, spiritual life is not complete. Spiritual life is not just doing one thing. There is a lot of things to be taken note of from these instructions from Krishna. Then, tapasa. Tapasa means what? Tapasa means any austerity you perform willingly. Any austerity you perform willingly, tolerating things and accepting certain austerities in life, that is called tapasya. Not forced upon somebody, something. That is not austerity, proper austerity. Tapasya is actually referring to many austerities which you are, like for example, following Ekadashi is a tapasya. Or, for that matter, taking some restrictions while eating from outside, from other people's food. That is an austerity. It is a little inconvenient sometimes, but it is necessary to put these restrictions in life. Not to eat food from people who are not following Krishna consciousness principles and who have materialistic thoughts, because their qualities will come through that food to you. So this is well known thing. That is why Krishna says this, that if you eat food outside from people who are not Krishna conscious and you start accepting food from them, their qualities will follow you through their food. It will come to you. Upanishad says this. So it's not a new technology. It is already exists, this known thing for a long, long time. That's why they put this. So that's an austerity. Tapasya it is. And so many things you may be put into inconvenience in this world just to become a devotee. So many instances. And at all that time, you have to voluntarily accept it as a tapasya. That is tapasya. That is what Krishna is talking about. Inconveniences which you are willing to accept it for the sake of advancing Krishna consciousness. That is tapasya. Abhayam, Satta Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavastadi, Dhanam, Dhamam, Yajnam, Swadhyayam, Tapasya. Then, the next one is called, Krishna calls it as Arjavam. Arjavam. Arjavam means what? Arjavam means, basically, Arjavam, Krishna explains that better later. In the Bhagavatam also it is explained. Arjava means simplicity in nature. Simplicity. No crookedness in dealings with people. No crookedness in dealing with people. Being straightforward. That is Arjava. And simple. And it is necessary to develop a nature like that, because otherwise it will become a habit with us, and even while dealing with spiritually advanced people, we will develop the same attitude. So, Krishna has linked up this with guru-disciple relationship also. Krishna says there, anasuya amokhavak, Krishna says. Sometimes, some disciples goes to the guru. So, guru says to him, that when will I see you? He says, son, I'll come in the evening. I'll come and see you in the evening, he says. Okay. He doesn't turn up in the evening. Next day morning he comes. So Guru says, what happened yesterday? You were supposed to come yesterday. He says, oh, what can I say? It started raining and it was a bit difficult. I couldn't make it, he said. So if he is like this, how can you take his word seriously? How can you take that person's word seriously? Krishna uses that such people, amokhavak, Krishna says, amokhavak means whose words have no value. If somebody says something, they should honor it, isn't it? Otherwise, if you don't honor it, you shouldn't say that. Having said that, you should honor the word, what you have spoken. And that habit will develop, this habit of not honoring the words will develop when one is not have this arjavam. Arjava means this straightforwardness is not there. So often you meet people like, so I'll see you tomorrow. You'll never see him tomorrow. Then again, next time he sees you, again he says the same thing. 2-3 times this happened, then you start thinking, he's just making a joke of the whole thing. Why waste time? And like this, it happens, many instances. So Krishna is saying this, that is no good. A person who is in the spiritual life should always be very, very careful while choosing the words and while speaking to others. Not waste the words or not give an impression that he is loose with the words. Rather, he'll honor his words, whatever he has spoken. Otherwise, Krishna says it is a obstruction on your path of spiritual life. Then, Arjavam. Then, Ahimsa Satyava Krodham. Ahimsa. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says about this ahimsa, isn't it? Many places we have seen before. Ahimsa means, it's an important realization for anyone. Because the realization of ahimsa comes from two sides. First thing to realize that being violent to another living entity is not going to help very much. It's not going to help very much because it's my own ignorance to think that I can destroy another living entity. You cannot destroy another living entity. Krishna has already said that before in the second chapter, didn't he? What did he say? Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. What is real in existence, what is real, what has been created, it will always, what has got reality, nasade vidyade bhavo, it will always exist. You cannot destroy it. Na bhavo vidyade sada. In other words, what is not real, which has been created, but which exists, but in reality it has no existence. In the second chapter, I think Krishna says this. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. It doesn't have a real existence, what has been made up. Ubhayorami drishtuvandam staneyo tatu darshibhi. The realized souls know this. You cannot destroy another living entity because it's been created by Krishna. If you think that you can destroy another living entity, that is because you are seeing that person through the body. That is why in this world, when we are thinking that we are destroying our enemy and killing other living entities with this motive, that action alone will bring back again another set of reactions. You have noticed this in this world, always happening. The war starts. One group is thinking that we'll wipe the other one out and we'll be peaceful after that. So far, that peace has never come. It goes on. Because that is the very nature of this world. As long as we have no choice except to take the principles of Bhagavad Gita and follow that through. Otherwise, if from based on our own mind, if we act, what will happen is, this philosophy of Krishna will come in effect there. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. The thing is already created. The living entities do exist. If we try to destroy the body of that living entity, the combined reaction of all our actions will develop in another form in the world, which we are not aware of how it is developing. After all, if you give pain to another living entity, it is clearly showing our ignorance of the Krishna's hands in this world, isn't it? We are completely ignoring that aspect of it. We are thinking we are the people who can bring peace to this world or to change the happiness and distress of this world. Krishna is saying here that nasade vidyade bhavo. If you understand and reflect on this word seriously, you can see na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorami drishtvandam staneyor tattva darshimi. Tattva darshimi. Krishna is quoting the authorities and saying this. That they have already spoken about it. Krishna says tattva darshimi. What have they said? That what really exists cannot be destroyed. And what is not existing cannot be created either. Cannot be created either. We can create by exchanging different things. We can create different objects in this world, but they don't have permanent existence. They are subjected to the control of this world. What really exists is spirit, and that spirit soul, what Krishna has created, cannot be destroyed. If you try to counteract the activities of the soul by destroying another living entity's body or killing another living entity, the results will be that it will end up in greater problems later. So that is one part of the Ahimsa's problem. Ahimsa, what Krishna is talking about. For spiritually, person who wants to advance on the spiritual path, for him, Ahimsa is important. Ahimsa is important. Otherwise, he has to accept the reaction of that. He has to accept the reaction of that. And this you can see in the Bhagavatam also, very nicely explained. If you remember the story in the 10th canto, Krishna meeting the devotee called Muchukunda. The devotee called Muchukunda. Muchukunda was a king who had gone and fought a lot of wars. The heavenly planets came back. The demigods told him that you don't have much of time. And he said to them, he asked them that, I'm so tired, I want to go and sleep now. And demigods gave him this benediction to go and sleep. He came to this earth and went into a cave and went to sleep there. So, when he went to sleep there, while he was sleeping, Kalayavana followed Krishna. And Krishna entered into this cave where Mukunda was sleeping. Kalyavana followed Krishna also. Krishna there. And suddenly Kalyavana kicked Mukunda by his foot. And Mukunda woke up from his sleep. And in the fire of his eyes, Kalyavana got burned into ashes. That Mukunda glorified Krishna at that time. It is called Mukunda's glorification of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. At that time, Mukunda glorified Krishna so nicely. At the end, Krishna says to Mukunda that everything was very nice, your glorification was very good, but still you are not ready for spiritual world. There is still a few things to be sorted here before you come back to that. What's that? Krishna says, being a Kshatriya king, you have killed people. You have killed people. And so a little bit of penances, austerities and all are necessary to get released from all the sinful activities. So sends him to Badrinath, to Himalayas to perform his penances there. So like this, Krishna says there that the activities of the living entity is like that. He cannot be released from his bondage unless he strictly follows this non-violence. Now, this non-violence is a problem also in life sometimes, because unknowingly we commit a lot of killings in this world, isn't it? Unknowingly we kill a lot of things in this world. Therefore different sacrifices are recommended for that. Panchamahayajnam it is called. And Pidriyajnam, Devayajnam, Manishayajnam, all these are a part of that. In order to free ourselves from the sinful reactions of that. This is one understanding of the ahimsa or non-violence. To understand that you cannot destroy anything, so not to endeavor in that direction, not to give pain to another living entity, which is absolutely not necessary. For a person who wants to go into spiritual life and to advance in the spiritual path, these are essential, Krishna says. Now, the same thing you can also see in another way. Not to give pain to another living entity for another reason. Because in the Ayurvedam, there is a statement. What is that statement? It's a very important statement in Ayurvedam. The statement is like this. Purva janma kridam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. Purva janma kridam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. Sometimes you see some people suffering very heavily in this life, some chronic illness which has been giving them a lot of pain for a long period of time in this life here. Where is that coming from? That is not something that has infected or it has happened due to any association with someone or whatever it is. It's not a temporary thing either. Over many, many long years of suffering in this world, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years sometimes, before they leave the body. You may have seen that. Ayurveda says, the reason for that is not due to activities in this life. Purva janma kritam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. Things which were done in the previous lifetimes, that will take birth in the next life in the form of diseases. They will take birth in the form of diseases. Purva janma kritam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. And why do we say these things? Because there is a very strong understanding in this world that this world has been created for our enjoyment, isn't it? For human society's enjoyment. This is the modern concept. Is it not? The whole human society, wherever you go in this world, all the governments all over the world have one understanding only. What's an understanding? Understanding is this, that we have to improve the standard of living of their population, human society, in that particular country or state, whatever that is. The problem is this. Vedic philosophy completely rejects this. Vedic philosophy completely rejects this. According to Vedic understanding, as much right we have got to live in this material world, Equal right is there for every other living entity, whether it is a snake or a rat or a mouse or anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. Every other living entity has got an equal right to survive in this creation. That is the Vedic thinking. Even if it's a snake, he has got a right to live in this world. Because he had to accept that body. And from the Vedic point of view, every living entity has got a right to live in this world. But this philosophy that only for the human society God has created this world is a very dangerous philosophy. The result is that we unnecessarily punish other living entities, which is a very wrong thing to do. It is such reactions of that is coming back to us in the form of illnesses in the next life. It is such activities that creates this problem later. Because you have bluntly rejected the understanding that the whole world is not our property. Just like a lion or an elephant or a cat or a dog was allowed to come here, live its life and go away. Similarly, we are also allowed to come here, live our life and leave the world. We have no other special proprietorship over this world. That is Krishna's point. We have no other special proprietorship over this earth. Why do we have to think that this whole earth is ours? Where does Krishna say that? Krishna says, it's all my property. You have come here, I sent you here. Out of the laws of karma, we have to accept this body and come here. But the moment we get here, the first thought is, colonize the whole place, isn't it? And then tell everybody else that, oh, that species has gone into extinction, this species has gone into extinction. So many species have gone already out of extinction. And then to show to the world, oh, we have to show some concern for them and then start some kind of silly project. But first, while they have their own habitat and their own place to live, we go and encroach that first. For our pleasure, isn't it? We destroy that. And then we say that, oh, we have to look after a few of them so that they are there for our children to go and watch in the zoo at the end, isn't it? You won't let them live where they are living. This you can only understand when you think that Krishna has created all living entities under certain rules and conditions. As much right we have, they also have a right to live. And this is the very powerfully spoken, this one point in the Upanishads. Upanishads speak this one point very powerfully because they knew very well that sometime or the other the foolish human society will cross over the rules and start acting very selfishly. Knowing very well they have spoken these things. And if you see the statements in the Upanishads about it, you can really appreciate how thoughtful they were, how thoughtful those people were there. That the freedom to live in this world is equal for every living entity. Nobody has got the right to interfere in somebody else's life. That is Krishna's point. Nobody else has got the right to interfere in somebody else's point. And all of us, all living entities, not only human society, all other living entities are compared like this. Just like a hungry child comes running to the mother asking for food. Similarly, all the living entities in this world comes to the material nature asking for food. We all ask the material nature to give us for food. And they also have an equal right in that. We can't deny that. They also have an equal right to have food, they should not be denied. That is the principle. Prabhupada used to mention about the one instance about his father that he had in his clothes shop. I think the rats were coming, and so his father said that there's no need to be killing them, but on the other hand, leave some food for them so they'll get satisfied and go away from that. Such was the kindness that those generations had with the other living entities. They never gave an impression that other living entities have no right to exist in this world. Because there is a reason behind it in all these statements. These are all very thought out understanding about life. Once it so happened, that somebody caught hold of a snake and put the snake in a cage. Put the snake in a cage. And the snake could not escape from the cage. It was inside the cage. So, a rat came that way, or a mouse or something came that way. And this rat thought that there is something inside the cage for that, for him to eat. For him to eat. The snake was inside, it couldn't go out. And it was hungry. The snake was hungry, he wanted to eat something. The snake wanted to eat something. And the rat was also hungry. He wanted to find some food. So it was looking around. But from the inside sound, it thought that there must be something to eat inside. So he couldn't see anything what was going on inside. So started slowly scraping to get into the cage. Eventually he managed to break it open and got into the cage. When he got in, he saw who was standing there. And the snake thought, oh, I got my food now. Ate the snake, ate the rat, and came out through the hole, which rat has made. Now what does it mean actually? It means that the Vaishwanara of the snake, which is Krishna, isn't it? We discussed Vaishwanara earlier. Aham Vaishwanara Bhuto Praninam Deham Ashrita. In the earlier verse we saw that Vaishwanara is Krishna, or Jadaragni, or the fire of digestion inside. That's what is demanding food, isn't it? That Vaishwanara is Krishna. So Vaishwanara of the snake wanted food. So Krishna arranged it in this way, that you be the food for that. And your life is finished in this body, and the snake's life has to be satisfied with that food of the jivo, jivasya, jivanam. One living entity is food to the another living entity. Now, if we start interfering in all these things, in Krishna's law, how Krishna is created like this way, then that is wrong. That's what Krishna is saying. That Upanishads are very, very firm about this one point. That so long as we do not interfere in the life of other living entities who have an equal right to live in this world, we will be able to be satisfied and happy in this life. Otherwise, if the way we are acting today, that do not caring for any other creation of this world, simply only concerned about me and my own satisfaction from living entities, and then that is not going to be very happy situation. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, ahimsa, you have to see from all these points, all these angles. One, to realize that what exists, you cannot destroy it. What does not exist, you cannot create it. That is that verse in the very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayor vidrashtvantam stanayo tatu darshimi. If you read that translation purport, you will see what it means. Reality is only what exists, and that exists is going to exist. Under no circumstances you will be able to destroy it. So, that is one aspect of it. The other aspect is not to give any pain to another living entity, which is very important, what Krishna has spoken here. So, non-violence, Krishna says. Then, what is the next one? Ahimsa. Ahimsa means these things. And then, satyam. Satyam means truthfulness, isn't it? Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. Na bruyat, satyam priyam. That is how satyam is spoken. Krishna Satyam, I have told you before, Satyanja Samadarshanam. Only when one sees all living entities on an equal level, that presence of Krishna in every living entity, only then you can say he is seeing everything, he is truthful. Otherwise he is not truthful, because all our dealings are covered by our selfish motives. We are not seeing the truth behind everything, which is spirit soul. That's what Krishna is saying. That this satyam. What is satyam? Satyam is truthfulness. Truthfulness in the sense that while whatever we have to speak to this world, with anyone else, it has to be spoken also in a palatable way. Not that we should keep quiet about it. Not that we should keep quiet about it. That is wrong. That is covering up, as we say, isn't it? Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. Satyam should be spoken, but it should be spoken in a priyam bruyat. Priyam bruyat means should be spoken in a pleasing way. Na bruyat satyam apriyam. satyam which should not be spoken, the truthfulness should not be shown, if it is not very palatably done, if it is not spoken palatably, in a palatable way. So satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. And that is why the art of presenting things is important. Art of presenting things is important. Often we may have to, in order to save ourselves and to save others also, we may have to come forward and speak certain things. It is impossible to keep quiet in certain situations. But it is necessary that it should be presented in a way that is to be spoken in a way that it is understood by the people, not in a malicious way, in other words. So that's why satyam. Satyam is important. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. And why this is important? Because if you look in the Ayurvedam, they have a different approach compared to the traditional people who followed Ayurvedic tradition. They have a different approach towards the patients. Suppose a patient comes to them, and if they have noticed that the patient is going to die, even in spite of the treatment, it cannot save the situation, what should the physician do at that time? It's an important thing, isn't it? Here, in the modern system, when we go to a hospital, what will the doctor say? Doctor will say, I'll give you 3 months, that's it, you can go home now. 3 months you have. Or 1 week, or 2 months, or 6 months, whatever that is. Then we come back all depressed, and we tell each other, I've been told 6 months, I've got time. That's it. In Ayurveda, it's different. They don't do like that. There, the system is that if a patient comes, the approach from the physician is that even if he knows that the death is imminent, or if he's going to leave his body, still it is not necessary to reveal that to him. It's not necessary to reveal that to that person. You should send him back in a good mood. By encouraging him to carry on with the treatment and see what happens after that. Rather than straight away telling him and giving him a time of life, this is how much you've got, and sending him depressed. It is expected that the physician will never ever tell the patient, that he has got only so much lifespan. That is the system they have followed. Reason for that is, the chances of survival in this world of a person is not completely in our hands, isn't it? Not completely in our hands. That is in Krishna's hands. Krishna decides how long we should live, when we should leave this body, where we should get the next body, all these things. So, from that point of view, it is only a acceptance of the reality that we do not put such conditions on another living entity and make that person unhappy about it. Often, this kind of approach in life causes problems. And if we associate with such people, that causes problems to us also. I'll tell you why it is like that. Say, for example, those who watch this television very freely, without any, every serial, every program in the television, there are people who are very, I saw in the paper that some people watch something like 40 hours or something a week, television, average person. Watches for 30, 40 hours, anyway, whatever it is. So, in these programs, in these television programs, serials and all that, you must have noticed there will be a lot of times these in serials as well as other programs also you can see that there will be a lot of times they will bring a lot of anxiety to the people who are watching the program, isn't it? For example, say in a serial you are watching a serial for a long period of time, running for years and years, yes. And you have got some attachment for that hero or heroine in the story. And suddenly it comes, the hero or heroine got a serious illness. And they put him or her on one of these hospital trolleys. And immediately an hospital scene is shown there, isn't it? They show the scene in the hospital. So as soon as you sit, watch, you'll see, oh, your favorite hero is going for this operation now. So you're worrying about it. And what do? They push this trolley into the operation theater. A lot of surgeons and doctors and nurses all busy trying to do this. And they will also show it in such a way, the clock is ticking, tuck, 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 tuck. That is going on. You can see better than me, because once you've seen this in the television and in the films and all that, how they do it to make it more and more realistic, isn't it? They try to do all these things. And what happens then? You are observing, seeing all these things, and in the process of observing this, in your mind inside, you are accepting the disease directly to yourself, from that person. By associating with these things, all what you are gaining from that is this. You are getting that disease straight away into your mind. You are not able to, you don't know. This is a very unknown factor. Why on earth we have to accept all the miseries in this world of all the living entities? Does this program help in any other way? Except that when this clock starts doing this, you are also inside, it is ticking. What is going to happen now? Will the operation come out nicely? What is it going to die? Is it going to live? All these thoughts start building up inside and you become sick at the end. This is the result of that. This is why it is said, you know in Vedas how strong they are about where you are engaging your senses. If you allow your senses to freely go in this world and to capture everything and anything from there, like a radar, which does all sorts of things, then you become sick at the end. And this is the whole problem in the modern society. We have no restrictions, what we should receive and what we should reject. I will tell you, there is a statement in the Rigvedam about it. And it is one of the most important verses in the Rigvedam. Rigvedam says like this. The verse itself is, Badram karne mishmiyama devaha, Badram vashyemi chabidya jatraha, Sireyange sushtu vamsasunubhi, Vashema devahidam yadayuhum. One should pray, Rigvedam says to us, you should pray to Krishna like this, that your senses don't go in the wrong direction and make contact with the wrong objects. Make contact with the wrong objects. That the senses should have, who controls the senses are controlled by the demigods, isn't it? And if you allow the senses to go and associate with scenes like this, what I have just spoken, and these kind of scenes, serial after serial, if somebody is watching, is there any wonder that that person is sick? Is there any wonder that person is sick? And what will happen after that? That his activities will also follow based on that sickness in his mind. Isn't it? This is the reason why it is said that one has to be extraordinarily careful about what he is allowing his senses to watch, allowing his senses to go to. And this kind of things in the media, particularly the media, how the media controls us in this way and makes us sick in that process. So if we are not careful, what is going to happen? We become patients, isn't it? We'll become patients. So if the society wants to be free from these diseases, the only option it has got is what it says in the Vedas, that Vedram, one has to protect one's own senses. Otherwise the possibility is very bad. It's very dangerous. Everything, when you watch all these kind of scenes in the television, not only this one, there is so many scenes like this, creating anxiety in your mind. And these anxieties, you are receiving it directly into your own mind. And it stays there. It stacks up, builds up inside. And once it builds up, what happens? It makes you sick. That's what is coming out from that. That's what's coming out from that. So that is why this point, what Krishna is making here, that if one is not careful, if one is not careful while engaging his senses in this world, one has the possibility of getting infected by that. Getting infected by that. So for this reason, first it enters into the mind, and then from the mind it enters into the body. Almost all the diseases, doctors say, it comes from through the mind. Mind is the origin. And it is through the mind it gets into the body. When the mind becomes weak, it spreads into the body as well. So that is the system. That is why the mind has to be taken care of all the time. And if the mind is strong and mind does not get easily affected by that, then the diseases also won't easily affect a person. That is also there. And unfortunately, people take it, or those who are producing all these kind of movies or pictures or serials or whatever it is, they all think that we are entertaining people. What kind of entertainment is this? In the process of getting sick at the end. Is that a very nice entertainment? So, now you will notice another difference here. This is as far as the mind of the modern producers of entertainers are concerned. Now, we also had entertainers in the olden days, isn't it? Like Ramayana, Mahabharatam. And all these scenes are acted in the temple dramas and temple culture. It's centered around all this Vedic literature, Ramayana and Mahabharatam particularly. The stories from Ramayana and Mahabharatam spreads to such great length in the temple arts and temple culture. They have developed a culture from that. There also killing happens. Ravana is killed or Duryodhana is killed. All these things happen, but you don't get sick from that. Why is that? When you watch Duryodhana getting killed or Ravana getting killed, or so many other, Hiranyakashipu gets killed, all these instances, it doesn't get you sick. There is a reason behind it. See, the sages were not very intelligent people. They were not stupid. They know our psychology well, more than anything else. They knew that in the process, while a certain personality is skilled in the Shastram, especially in the Puranas, Puranic characters, as they are called, when the Purani characters are killed, the way it is presented, you will see immediately Ravana was killed, there were flowers were showered from the top. Flowers were showered from the top. In order to show that the people have become happy by such a death, of a person of such a death. Whereas, these deaths, what is shown in our films and all other things, you develop an attachment for that person and then you kill, which creates a different reaction within your own mind. Characters like Hiranyakashipu or Duryodhana or Kamsa or personalities like that, knowing well our psychology, our nature, how it is, what it is like, Vedavyasa Maharshi and the great sages, when they compile the literature, they have created an understanding to us that virtues are always winning. Virtue. In other words, all the great qualities win over the bad qualities. Always win over the bad qualities. That is how Krishna has all the great episodes in the Mahabharata and Ramayana is presented there. Otherwise, therefore, those who watch those, when you watch such entertainment, what is the result? The result is that you develop devotion and Krishna consciousness from that. Whereas if you are watching all these kind of rubbish from the television and all other media, the result is that you become sick. The opposite thing. So, very well it was known to the people of those days that entertainment is necessary. Everybody needs entertainment. But entertainment has to be made in such a way that it actually elevates in your spiritual life. Elevates in your spiritual life. Krishna's pastimes, how many times you can see, still being still not satisfied, still want to see more. 5,000 years people are watching Krishna's pastimes. Still people want to watch those pastimes again. And they feel some more developed, more devotion to Krishna in that way. So that makes elevates in spiritual life. Whereas sometimes you read one book and you later on you regret, why did I read that book? Because it disturbs your mind. It doesn't give you any happiness from that. So there is two sides to all these things. So any activity, entertainment or whatever it is, if it elevates in spiritual life, that should be accepted. But all the other things, what is not advancing spiritual path, it should be rejected. And that's why senses, when the senses are engaged in any activity, it should be only for the benefit of spiritual advancement. That's what Krishna is saying here. Satyam bruyat priyam bruyat na bruyat satyava priyam. That's another important verse in that connection. So here we have seen satyam. Satyam. So so the result is, as I said before, the reaction of all these things, if one is not careful while associating with the world, immediately you will be affected by your own mind, and you will get sick, or you will be affected by the reactions from that. So therefore, in the Shastram, two things are spoken. One is called Vyadhi, and the other one is called Samadhi. One is called Vyadhi, and the other one is called Samadhi. Vyadhi, if you have no discrimination and you act in that way, you will get into Vyadhi or disease. Otherwise, if you take care of all these things and advance yourself spiritually by associating with spiritual activities all the time, if you have to get entertained, use in Krishna consciousness way that you should get entertained. That way it develops into Samadhi. More thoughts of Krishna comes from that, or remembrance of Krishna. The nature of the mind is to identify with the character, isn't it? Identify with the character in the film or in the movie or in the drama or anywhere. It is like that. It immediately identifies with that and starts experiencing the happiness and distress. Sometimes we can see that in the film theater. When there is some, when something, they create a lot of anxieties in different times. You can see, like, for example, when Ravana was killed, Lord Ramachandra was shooting arrows, and one by one, 10 heads were cut, isn't it? 10 heads were cut. While cutting heads, you are still seeing how Ramachandra is fighting Ravana, and was able to kill him in a systematic way. He was finishing him up. All the 10 heads were cut off. But in the film, have you noticed the same thing, how it happens? He takes a knife or something from here and he goes after the person. So every second your anxiety is building up inside. What's going to happen now? It's only a small knife, pen knife or little bigger than that. It's going to put it onto the other person. So imagine the experience you are having in your mind at that time. When you observe what Ramachandra was killing Ravana and how you felt at that moment and what you felt when you were watching this film where he was killing that person with this knife or a gun. So many movies with the guns and knives. Without guns and knives, there is no movie these days, isn't it? If these two things are not there, what movie is there then? So that's how they develop these. If all these things goes inside, then what happens the next thing? In the sleep, in the night, they start coming back. All the scenes start coming back. Apart from that, what else happens? Apart from that, sometimes there will be a lot of problems. Somebody is suffering at home due to some illness or something. And you feel helpless. What can you do? Then you go and sit in front of the television thinking that maybe that will solve my temporary problem. And there you watch this movie. There you watch this movie, and while watching this movie, it goes inside, and then anxiety builds up. Now what's going to happen in the serial in the next one? And then worrying about it. This is all quite common. Those who are serial watchers, we have seen this all the time. They are concerned about what will happen in the serial next scene. That's what they are worried about. Not the person who is lying sick at home. No, he's more worried about what is going to happen to the person in the serial. These are all the symptoms of that sick mind. The mind which is sick. That's what the Vedic society or Vedic culture is centered on, this one point. The five senses of knowledge, if you let it go its own way, it will go anywhere. It doesn't require, there is no control. You remember, Dushtashwa Iva Sarathe, in the Kathopanishad we spoke about this. Dushtashwam, that means they are bad horses. They are bad horses, these five senses. They are bad horses. Remember in that picture, where the five horses driving the chariot, Arjuna sitting in the chariot, Krishna sitting there and holding the rein, controlling the horses. Why was it shown like that? It was shown like that to tell us that if the horses are not controlled properly, how important it is to control that horses and not allow it to go freely wherever it wants to go. In other words, forget about the gross sense gratification. Even the subtle sense gratification, what we experience in this world. Every second we have to be careful what we see, what we touch, what we smell, what we associate with it. To such a finer control on the senses is necessary, Krishna says, in order that it doesn't drag you into the wrong direction. That's why it's called Dushtashwa Iva Sarathe. The Dushtashwams they are called. Krishna says like that. So, all these things influence us. All these films, movies and everything. So, unless we draw a very a strong line, border there, we are going to be affected by that. And that will not help in our spiritual life. And on the other hand, not only it will help our spiritual life, it makes us sick as well. Sick in the sense that the mind cannot understand anything better. After all, every individual has a capacity how much he can absorb, isn't it? So whatever capacity you have, if you fill that all with this garbage, then where is the question of anything good it can find? The jnani is trying to realize Krishna through the process of knowledge, isn't it? But every jnani knows very well that his knowledge is very limited. That is the interesting thing. Through jnanam, you cannot realize Krishna. That is why all the intelligent jnanis, ultimately, they surrender to Krishna because they know at that point that my so-called capacity is limited and Krishna is too big to realize through my jnanam, through knowledge. Therefore, they become devotees. So, jnana margam also is indicating the same thing to us. Unless we become, unless we understand our own situation, that Krishna's position is so big that imagine, this is the one important pastime in the Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma's surrender to Krishna. Remember that Brahma Mohana Leela, Brahma Vimohana Leela. It is also called Lord Brahma's surrender to Krishna, isn't it? What did Lord Brahma? There's also another indication there. Lord Brahma is the predominating deity of intelligence. Lord Brahma is predominating deity of intelligence. It's also pointing out to us, through intelligence alone, you cannot understand Krishna. Through intelligence alone, you cannot understand Krishna. Even intelligence has to surrender at that point. It comes to a point where you have to surrender your intelligence also. Because Krishna is beyond than that. Krishna is beyond than that. And in order to teach Brahma, what did Krishna do at that time? He pulled all the Brahmas to come. Not only this one Brahma. He was there. All the other Brahmas arrived on that spot. From so many billions of universes. Unlimited number of Brahmas. Unlimited number of heads. Unlimited number of heads. Unlimited universes arrived there. And our Brahma from our universe completely got lost, isn't it? You heard that story in the Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, Brahmastuti, Brahma's glorification of Krishna. At that point, Brahma says, I cannot speak anymore because this is my limit. I'm finished here. So, this is the same thing, that we have a certain capacity, and that capacity, if it used for the wrong purpose, for sense gratification and things, and then there is no space for growing spiritually. So, it is important to know our own limitation and to engage the senses in the right way. That is what these verses are talking to us. These 26 qualities is only, it's not something to be just read and memorized and understood. No, it is to be understood in this way. That what is important from here? Why these 26 qualities are important? Because each of them has a very strong influence on my own spiritual life. This quality is necessary, because if I don't cultivate this quality, I will not make progress in spiritual path. This is what will change me at the end. When you start going through each of these qualities, you will notice that Krishna consciousness is dependent on all these factors. When these factors are not there, your Krishna consciousness won't go further than that. You see, go further than that. There's so many things in this. Only when you reflect on that and then you connect it with people's life in this world, then also you can see that. Sometimes devotees get affected by it, not aware of these things. And then they commit sinful activities. Why? Because they are not aware of this, that these qualities are not there. They didn't take notice of this quality. Just by memorizing the qualities is not enough, but you have to see that how they have to play their role in our life in this world. That's the most important thing. So, Krishna is saying here that ahimsa satyam akrodham. Akrodham means freedom from anger. Freedom from anger. This freedom from anger is not a very easy thing, isn't it? Sometimes it's very easy to get angry. Sometimes we control our mind to some extent. But often it is very difficult. But it is necessary. Akrodham. It so happened, Ramachandra was traveling in the forest with Lakshmana. And while traveling, somewhere, Ramachandra left his bow underneath the tree. He just left it like that. And went to drink some water from a river with Lakshmana. After they came back and he picked up his bow from there. When he picked up the bow, at the bottom of the bow, there was some blood. Ramchandra looked at that time and realized that there was a frog there on whom the bow has been resting for a while since he left. And it has hurt the frog. And the blood was coming out. So, Ramachandra says to the frog, why did you not tell me this before? That I didn't notice you, but why did you not mention this to me? You know what the frog replied to Ramachandra? Normally, all the other living entities try to give me pain. I chant the holy name, your holy name, Rama Rama, I chant the holy name. But if Ramachandra himself comes, puts the bow on me and hurts me, what shall I chant? He said. To Ramachandra he said this, the frog said this. What should I chant then? Generally I chant Rama Rama to protect myself from other living entities. But if Ramachandra himself comes and does this to me, what should I chant? He said. So Ramachandra understood the frog's thinking and got the pacified the frog. But just to tell us, the point is this, that if we ourselves broke these principles of Krishna consciousness, then others, what will happen to them? We are supposed to be protecting Krishna consciousness principles, isn't it? But if we don't follow Krishna consciousness and protect the principles properly, others also will be affected by that. They will not be able to put their faith in these teachings, Krishna's teachings, or Krishna's instructions. Then Krishna also says here, this freedom from anger, is something like this, that sometimes we accept, as I said, so many things from the world. And often you find, especially when you go to the villages and all that, you find many times children playing very freely without being frightened of anything. They are enjoying in their with a very simple way. They don't have much toys or none of the modern things what the society provides. They are much more relaxed in their life, and they are able to play very freely and enjoy their life also very freely. Now, in the modern society, we have, although we have a lot of things in this way to give happiness to the children, strictly they are not so happy in that way, because they just don't get that freedom to enjoy exactly like the way many times in the villages children do, due to our own lifestyle that is created in that way. In the cities and in the big industrial places, we are very particular about all these things, isn't it? So many things. And similarly about health also. We are so concerned about, before traveling, we have all the jabs and everything is done properly, and so frightened about all these things. But if you go to these villages and see how the people are living there, it is difficult to accept that our way of life is perfect. That was also very difficult. It's just that we have become helpless, so we are following these systems. That's what it is. A lot of it is created by ourselves. Like this, for everything here, you go to the hospital, they start testing your urine and stool. These children, they are playing there in the urine and stool for years together. Nobody tests their urine. They know that urine and stool is not for testing every day. They do live like that. So why is it like that? This urine and stool testing has become such an important thing in this life. It is just the way the life has developed. So all these things in the life you can observe, and you'll see from there that people, according to their circumstances, they are forced to act in a particular way, but not necessarily it is the best way. So, then, ahimsa satyam akrodam tyaga shandhi rabhayishunam tyagam. Tyagam means, this is important, tyagam means to sacrifice life for others' happiness. To sacrifice life for others' happiness. This is one of the most underlying principles of Krishna consciousness. And only when sacrifice is there, Krishna consciousness will have any growth in this world. People have sacrificed in the past. Therefore, something happened in this world. Prabhupada sacrificed, many of Prabhupada's disciples sacrificed so much. And the result of that is that many other people received happiness from that, Krishna consciousness from that. So sacrifice is an underlying principle in all these things. And it is through sacrifice, Krishna says, that you should develop spiritually. Only through that you can develop spiritually. In the Ishvapanishad, if you look, what does it say? Ishvapanishad makes a statement there, isn't it? What does it say? Tena tek tvena bhunjidaha. That sacrificing, you enjoy it, it says. Ma ghrida kasya sildhanam. Realize that this dhanam, this wealth is not yours. That is the first thing, foremost thing to bear in mind. It's not mine. This is the principle that Vedas are pointing out to us every time. This is not yours. But it is so deep-rooted in us, it's ours. It's on this principle we live in this world. But Vedas are stressing this one point. In all the sacrifice also, if you look, what do they chant the mantra? Idam namama agnaye swaha. This is not mine, offer to fire. This is not mine, offer to the fire. Idam namama agnaye swaha. Saying this, they make the offerings to the fire. So, when you think about it, we offer Krishna Prasadam. We offer food for Krishna to eat. We offer flowers. We offer so many things to Krishna. Where did it come from? Krishna has given it to us, isn't it? We think of, we are offering to Krishna, isn't it? Who has given it to us, first of all? Krishna has given it to us. And that's what we are offering to Krishna. So, when we offer to Krishna also, idam na mama, it is not mine. That concept has to be very deeply taken into account. This is the mood of offering. Idam na mama adnaye swaha. That it is not mine. I'm offering to you because you have given it to me. I'm offering to you. That should be the understanding. Otherwise, it's not proper. That's what Krishna is saying. In the Ishvamanishad verse is like this. Tena tektuena munjida magrida. You should not desire somebody else's wealth. Why? Magrida kasasil dhanam. Because you should know to whom it belongs to actually. To whom it belongs to. Whom does it belong to? It belongs to Krishna. So you should not desire somebody else's wealth. So Upanishads are very particular about stressing this one important point in order to wake us up to understand that you do not make this mistake. And this is how one has to deal with this world. Otherwise, if everything thinking that, oh, for Krishna's sake, I'll do this, I'll do that, everything, no. It's already Krishna's. You cannot take anything from Krishna. All you can do is to take Krishna's and give it back to Krishna. That's all you can do. There's nothing else you can do. In the in that particular particular pastimes, if you remember, that Viprabhakti Moksham. That is the story in the Bhagavatam. Krishna and Balaram and the Kahan boys, they all went to the forest. What happened there? The Brahmanas were performing sacrifices. Isn't it? Brahmanas were performing sacrifices. They were chanting the mantras, everything. And then offering everything into the fire. Everything into the fire. Krishna and Balaram sent the cowherd boys to get some food from them. You remember that story in the Bhagavatam? When they went up to the Brahmanas, Brahmanas said, there is no food for anyone here. Just get lost from here. They sent them away. They came back fully depressed, fully upset about it, and told Krishna and Balaram. Krishna sent them back again, told them to tell Krishna and Balaram's name and ask for food. They didn't offer anything. This time Krishna said to them, go to their wives and ask them for the food. The moment these boys came and asked for the food, all the women who were cooking food all those time, they packed up all the food and left and came here and offered a big feast to Krishna, Balaram, Radharani. Everybody was there, to all of them. A big feast was served that day. What does it mean? What is this pastime showing to us? The pastime is showing to us that sacrifice is meant for pleasing Krishna. The Brahmana is not thinking. The ghee what he is pouring has come from Krishna. He has no realization. You see, he's doing it mechanically like a ritual. That is no good. The mood of the person when he performs these sacrifices is more important than what you have poured into the fire. What you have poured into the fire. The Brahmanas failed there, whereas the Brahmanas' wives acted properly. In other words, they got the right understanding that Krishna has provided all these things. So whom else should it go except Krishna? This understanding was there in the Brahmanas' wives. Therefore, the Brahmanas' wives understood what is actually the purpose of the sacrifice. That is why in that Bhagavatam you will notice, Sukadeva Goswami talks about these Brahmanas. He says they are so useless, he says. Because they could not understand what they were doing. Very learned. They learned all the Shastras, everything. They knew all the mantras, they knew what to chant, where to chant, when to chant. With the Udatam, Anudatam, Swaridam, everything they knew while chanting the mantra. Everything was done properly. But what is the use? The understanding was wrong. They couldn't offer it to the Supreme Personality. When he has come and asked for food, if you couldn't offer to him, what was the use of all this? This was the point. You see? Tyagam. Tyagam means sacrifice. Sacrificing for what? For the right cause. for the right purpose, for pleasing Krishna, that is sacrifice. Everything else is not sacrifice. Then, Tyagam, Shanti. Shanti. Shanti means what? Shanti means so many different experiences in this world we will have. For some reason or the other, we will have so many different experiences. Sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. But we have to learn not to carry it with us all the time. Not to carry it with us all the time. Because the nature of the mind is such that even if it is a bad experience, the mind, if you link it with the mind, at some other point it will come back again, in some way or the other. This is the nature of the mind. That's what Krishna is saying. That the important thing is that that one should only accept what brings peace to the mind. One should not accept what is not peaceful. Many times this media, particularly the media, this is what it does, isn't it? Media creates, does it bring peace to the mind or does it bring disturbance to the mind? In majority of the cases, it is disturbance to the mind. Not many newspapers if you read today, or the television programs, or the radio programs, there is not much peace coming from that, is there? Is most of it is more anxiety in the mind. And that is not a good situation. That's not a good situation. Because this quality called shanti or peacefulness will not come to the mind with a mind attached to these kind of things. So therefore one has to learn to withdraw from that. The best example is this, that that when there is no peace at home, peace at mind, naturally, one cannot have the happiness of the spiritual life also. Happiness of the spiritual life also. And many of the medical companies also, they want people to be sick. Otherwise, the people are not sick. They also got a target to meet. And they have to also pay their salaries to the people. This is all there. These are the realities of this world. So they have to play their role in getting more patients in this world. And for that, whatever is necessary, they will promote. There is no question about that. It is up to the individual to guard himself against all these things. That do you want to get victimized by that? Do you want to get victimized by that? If people don't get illnesses, what is going to happen to all these big, big multinational corporations? Who are turning billions of dollars business every year out. If people are not sick, what will happen to their so-called turnover and their profit margins? They thrive on this. So that's why for them, it's important for the people to get sick. It was spoken once that suppose you suddenly stop all these televisions, all the television stations closed down, no more television program, nothing there. I was told the survey was showing that about 10 to 15% of the whole population, even more than that, will go completely mad, it seems. If you just stop the television. Suppose you're close. That is how dependent we are on this today. To such an extent, we have got addicted to it, that if you withdraw this sense gratification from us, if they withdraw it, we will just go crazy. Just see how dependent we are on sense gratification. So, where is the question of Shanti there? Where is the question of Shanti? We can say Shanti, 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 Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. What Shanti? If this is what's going around us 24 hours a day and make the whole society sick like this and then some serious crime happens, then the Scotland Yard comes in, then the whole detective starts, whole operations, days together, millions of pounds spent on this. Where is it all originating from? It originates from this, that there is another influencing force in the society which keeps people sick all the time, that they forget. They don't take, we want that and we want this also, both. So the result of all that is, we have to analyze these words properly, otherwise, if I just say, oh, we have to be peaceful in life, that's not good enough. Because Shanti means, Shanti will only come when we learn how to disconnect ourselves from what is not necessary for spiritual life. What is not necessary for spiritual life? this discrimination at every stage in life is essential. At every stage in life is essential. Because if you don't discriminate, what will happen is we will accept everything. Everything we will accept. And the result is that there will be no shanti inside. Peace inside. So that's what Krishna is talking about. So, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodam Tyaga Shandira Vaishunam Daya Bhudesha Loluptam Mardavam Hriya Chapalam. I was mentioning this before, that in the Puranams, all the things, when they present it, is presented in such a way that it does not disturb your mind. On the other hand, it gives you more spiritual advancement. In such a way, these stories are presented. Puranic stories are like that. First of all, presenting the spiritual principles through stories is done in Puranams, isn't it? Puranas are nothing but histories. But through them, the great sage, Vedavyasa Maharshi, has put it in such a way so people can read them, because we have a taste for that. We read these stories, and through that we develop our senses. We satisfy our senses, at the same time it elevates us. Just like Bhishma Pitamaha. Bhishma was leaving his body. He was lying on the bed of arrows, isn't it? He was lying on the bed of arrows. We have seen that. But in spite of putting Bhishma on the bed of arrows, we still feel benefited from that, isn't it? Why? Bhishma Stuti came out from that. Bhishma's glorification of Krishna. Had Bhishma was not lying on the bed of arrows, we would not have had Bhishma Stuti. Bhishma was waiting for Krishna to come. And because Krishna came, Bhishma was able to glorify Krishna at that point, and we got the opportunity to hear Bhishma's glorification of Krishna directly from him. So that way you can see that in Puranam, when they bring such scenes, they are very careful that it ultimately uplifts you on the spiritual side. Otherwise they will not present such things. It is of no use to the society. What's the point in discussing a war where millions got killed in so many cruel ways, either through mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, or through gas chambers, or this, that? What do we gain from that at the end? I mean, it makes us also sick of what has happened, isn't it? So that's the point. Daya bhude shalo luptam mardavam hriya chapalam. So, next one, shandi. After shandi is abhaishunam. Abhaishunam means what? Abhaishunam means always talking about others. Always talking about others. And this abhaishunam can become a big problem. Because abhaishunam, it can grow and grow further and further. One has to make a balance somewhere, what is necessary to be spoken, but at the same time, it should not go into the extent of free speech, as they say, and make it a business altogether. And out of that, because it brings all the, it disturbs the mind as well. Abhaishunam. Bhudeshudhaya. Bhudeshudhaya means kindness to all other living entities. In other words, everyone has got an equal right to recognize that Bhudeshu Daya. Aloluptam. Aloluptam means free from desires. Aloluptam means free from desires. And what is that desire? Desire is this. Ragadi Rogalakshanam. Ragadi Rogalakshanam. Raga means attachment. Attachment to, or attachment or desires for different things. Then mardavam. Mardavam means softness, soft nature. That's mardavam. Then mardavam hri. Hri means feeling shame to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Not to act in such a way that it causes, others don't get disgusted with it. So often, this is a very important point. Hri. What does Hri means? Mardavam Hri Achapalam, Krishna says. Hri means that before we do certain things, we should take into consideration what effect it will have on others. That giving consideration to things, that is Hri. Consideration to things, that's Hri. If we start thinking in life, everything is a game I have to play, how I can beat somebody else in this game. And if you deal with life in that way, then it is such people who come to this situation at the end, that they become no consideration for others, and they will become shameless in doing things, certain things. They have no shame at all doing that. And that is not a very nice thing, Krishna says, because if today it will start with one thing, but tomorrow it can develop into much more serious things. That when he talks about demoniac nature later on, Krishna will say, this is one of the things with the demons. It's a demoniac nature it is, not being considerate to others. Individually or collectively, it can happen. Suppose you fall into a group of people who are like that, you will also become one like that, and you will act in that way. That's what Krishna is saying. But a person who has got this quality of Hri, he will think twice. If the group is going in the right direction, wrong direction, it is my duty, if possible, to correct them, if not, to pull out of it at the right time. One should pull out of it. Because he feels ashamed to do such a thing. He feels ashamed to do such a thing. But sometimes what happens is, you start with a group of people somewhere, something, some project, and it is led by somebody. Everyone goes, follows like a sheep, and at the end it all gets messed up. And everyone feels at the end, some people are thinking, oh, I didn't know anything, I was told to do it like that, so I did it. They come up with this excuse at the end. Have you seen that? So many times this has happened. They will say, I didn't know anything about it. I was told that I should do it. I was told it's devotional service, I'm doing it, he said. And he has done the devotional service. But at the end, it all turned out to be a disaster. So that time when he was questioned, why did he not say, why did you do this? He says, I didn't know anything about it. My leader, whoever it was, told me to do it, I did it, he said. So that's why Krishna is saying here, that if you have this quality of Hri in you, you will feel ashamed to do certain things. And at the right opportunity, you will withdraw from that scene. If it is not right, you should not do it. And you should withdraw from that. And that capacity to discriminate things at the right time is necessary, Krishna says. These are, spiritual life is an individual thing. One has to develop that spiritual qualities and to know how to lead his own spiritual life, whether individually or collectively, it doesn't matter. If the society is not favorable for that, you have to give goodbye to the society also. That is how important spiritual life is. So, Krishna is saying here, Shanti abhaishunam daya bhudeshu aloluptam mardavam hri achapalam. That hri is an important word to remember. That one who has got that quality, he will be sensible. He will not act indiscriminately. And he will not upset also, he will not act in a shameless way. Very often, they get trapped like this, because you act in groups. And because you don't know what is right and what's wrong, sometimes you think that somebody has told me like this, and probably sometimes he knew it was wrong to do that. But he didn't stand up and say this to them, that I don't want to be a part of it, and walk out from there. They went along with it, thinking that it's all for the good. Something wrongly understood. So at the end, things went wrong, and then the whole thing becomes a catastrophe. And then the question comes out, inquiry starts, and finds out what went wrong. And then comes out that the whole group was at fault. The leader was wrong, obviously. He couldn't lead the people properly. He was falsely taking the leadership. And he misled them. But those who got misled also has got an equal responsibility on that. Has got an equal responsibility on that. In order to do that discrimination, Krishna says, Mardavam Hri Achapalam, that Hri is a nature of a person who knows what is certain things you don't do in life. Certain things you don't do in life. Like many, many things, some moral standards one maintains in life. That's what Krishna is saying there. Mardavam Hri Achapalam. Achapalam means that not getting disturbed over things. Not getting disturbed over things. You cannot get disturbed over things only if there is knowledge, isn't it? When there is proper knowledge developed inside, you don't get disturbed over things. because you know the transitory nature of the world and the transitory nature of the events in this world. When one can properly discriminate things and come out of the situation. That's what achapalam means. That's why jnanis normally, they don't get disturbed. When they see things are not right, they move away from there to another situation. They don't want to get disturbed and want to get affected by that. Because if they are getting affected, they move away from the scene. So that's another important thing Krishna is saying here. Then, Tejakshamadrudishavajamadroho nadimanida bhavandi sambadam devi abhijadasya bharada. Krishna says here that Tejasa means what? The sharpness of the intelligence. That is all Tejasa means. Tejasa means the sharpness of the intelligence. That whatever happens in this life, still not to allow the mind to get disturbed and still continue with life without disturbed by anything. And that is necessary. The sharpness of the intelligence. Because if the intelligence is developed in that way, what will happen is, due to the power of the intelligence, the mind won't drag you into difficult situations. Why won't drag you into difficult situations? Because life is always sometimes happiness and sometimes distress. They'll come and they'll go. But in spite of all that, one should be able to execute one's spiritual life without getting unaffected by that. Then next one is Kshama. Kshama means what? Kshama. Kshama is defined like this. Sahanam sarvadukhanam. Sahanam sarvadukhanam. Every distress when it comes, able to tolerate it in this world. Sahanam sarvadukhanam. How? Apradigarapurvakam. Apradigarapurvakam you have to tolerate it. What is apradigarapurvakam? Apradigarapurvakam means without any desire to take revenge. Without any desire to take revenge. Suppose you want to retaliate immediately as you heard something and you want to retaliate. That is not Kshama. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradihara purvagam. And what else? Chinda vilaparahidam. Chinda vilaparahidam. That means vilaparahidam. Without whinging or without crying on small losses. Sometimes you lose financially heavily in this world. Sometimes it can happen, isn't it? Sometimes you see people who are subjected to heavy losses in life, financial losses, either business collapses or stocks and shares they have invested, they lost heavily, or something like that. Financially, somebody is put into difficult situations in that way. Even in such situations, Krishna is saying here, Chinda vilaparahidam, not to get affected by that and still able to execute one's spiritual life. That is necessary. That is Kshama. That able to tolerate things like that. That one does not completely gets lost in the activities of this world and driven by that. So, Teja Kshama Dridir Shaujam Nandroho Nadimanida. Then the next one is Dridhi. Dridhi means Dridhi Shaujam Adroham Nadimanida. Four things Krishna is saying here. Dridhi means to keep the mind able to accommodate everything inside the mind, whatever that is coming there. That is Dridhi. For example, the mind is such that sometimes we hear so many things and we get immediately excited about it. Various things, isn't it? But still able to accommodate that within our mind and not allow the mind to wander and get affected by that and lose one's own individual strength, but able to sustain that in spite of the incident. That is Dhriti. Shaujam. Shaujam means cleanliness, isn't it? Shaujam panchavidam smradam. We spoke about this before earlier. Different kinds of cleanliness, outside, inside, bahyam, abhyandaram, outside and inside. Outside cleanliness means related with the body. But inside is a lot more than that, abhyandaram, abhyandara shuchi, bahya abhyandara shuchi. Abhyandaram includes so many things. It includes our purity of the words, what we speak, vakshaujam, purity of the words, what we speak. Karma Shaujam, purity of our work, what we do in this world. Purity of the work, what we do in this world. These things are there. Purity of the work, purity of the words. Vaka, Manashaujam, purity of our thoughts inside. What kind of things we think in our heart. Does bad thoughts come often? That means there is no purity inside. That's what it means. So Krishna is talking about that Shaujam purity inside as well as outside. So in order to develop that purity inside, especially outside, Shujitvam is easier. The purity outside is easier. By bathing regularly and keeping clean, one can do that. But the purity inside, the process is chanting the holy name. Continuously chanting Krishna's holy name. That will purify one's heart. There's no question about that. That's why that the process is. It purifies the heart. Isn't it? Chedodarpanam arjanam, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, isn't it? So simply by chanting the holy name, one gets purified. In other words, it does not get contaminated with the material world, three modes of nature. Adroho nati manida. Adroham. Adroham means not to give trouble to any other living entity. That's all basically it means. Not to give pain to another living entity. Adroham. Nati manida. Nati manida means never thinking oneself that I am being proud of everything, that I am the doer and I am the person behind it. Everything is Krishna's arrangement, that is what is going on in this world, and I am just a tool in Krishna's hands, you know, in that way, to accept things in this world. That is Nati Manida. So like this, 26 qualities Krishna has discussed. Heja Kshamagradi Shaujam, Adroho Nati Manida, Bhavandi Sambadam Devi, Abhijadasya Bharata. Krishna says, that these 26 qualities, what is discussed here in verse 1, 2 and 3, Krishna says, they are the qualities related to those who are born in the divine nature. Those who are born in the divine nature. Now, I feel that you have a reasonable understanding of all these qualities, why Krishna has spoken them, very precisely he has put it. But there is a detailed purport, Srila Prabhupada is also given in the commentary, which you can read. And those who have got this divine nature, all the good qualities will come to him. That is also another important thing. One who has got the divine nature. This is actually basically a self-assessment only. These three verses. Assess oneself, see where we stand. Everybody has to do it themselves. And where will these qualities come from? From the samskar what we have developed. From the samskar we have developed in previous lifetimes. It follows us. And that's what's coming out in this life in different ways. So if there is good samskar from previous life, that will come in this life also. If it is not there, it won't be there this life also. So we'll have to build it up in this life. That's what Krishna says here. And by spiritual activities, these qualities will build up by sadhana. These qualities will build up inside. That is also another aspect of that. And by sinful activities, the opposite qualities will also build up. So you can see how these qualities have a relationship with spiritual life. By engaging in spiritual activities in spiritual sadhana, these qualities will build up inside. Similarly, engaging in sinful activities, which Krishna is going to start now discussing, the other side will start building up. The bad qualities will start building up in a person. So, the next few verses are talking about that. Let's see. Dambo darpo dimanascha krodha parushyamevacha ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambadam asurim. Krishna says, Dambo darpo bhimanascha Dambham darpam abhimanam krodham parushyam ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambadam asurim. Krishna says, Dambham. Dambham means pride. Dambham means pride, isn't it? Ahangaram. Ahangaram means false ego. Darpam. Abhimanam. Krodham. Anger. Parushyam. Krushyam means harsh way of speaking or doing things in a harsh way. All these things Krishna says they are born from ajnanam, ignorance. Krishna says they are born from ajnanam. They are all the children of ignorance. Ajnanam chabijadasya partha sampadam asurim. Then this, all these things is coming from total ignorance, and these are the symptoms of the demoniac nature. One who is born with demoniac nature, he will have all these qualities in a natural way. He will have all these things in a natural way. Devi sambadvimokshaya nibandaya asuri imadaha ma shucha asambadam devi abhijadosi pandava. Krishna says here, Devi sambad vimokshaya nibandaya asuri imadaha. That means this Devi sambad, divine nature, will release a person from the material existence. He will get released from that. And the demoniac nature will increase the cycle of birth and death, or his material existence will increase. Material existence will increase, Krishna says. So, the divine nature will release a person from material existence. The demoniac nature will increase his material existence. And with the result of that, he will get stuck in the material world. In other words, nibandaya asuri mana. And then Krishna says, Arjuna, don't cry. Ma shucha. Why? Sambadam devi abhijadosi pandava. You are born with divine nature. You are born with divine nature. Therefore, you will definitely get out of this material existence. You will come out of the material existence and get liberated. Now, you notice one thing here. Krishna used the word ma shucha, isn't it? Don't cry. And this word in Bhagavad Gita, you will only find in two places. If you look into the last chapter, and the very conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, 66 verse, 18 chapter, Krishna also says to Arjuna, ma shucha, there also. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tva sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. Don't cry, Krishna says. So Krishna knows that a devotee like Arjuna, he wanted to make sure that he is not feeling that he is lacking this. So there Krishna made it very clear. No, you have it. You have the qualities. And don't cry. You are covered, protected from this. So that way, Krishna has shown some mercy to Arjuna by saying this to him. Dvaubodha sargau logesmin devam asuram evacha devo vistarasha prokta asuram parthame shrunu. So here, Krishna is talking about now, this is going to explain this, what is divine, what is demoniac. Those two things Krishna is going to now explain in little detail. Why? Because Krishna says, I have spoken to you, Devam Vistaresha Prokta. I have spoken about the divine nature in detail. Asuram Partha Veshrano. Now you hear about the asuric nature or demoniac nature from me in detail. Krishna says here, Dvau Bhuta Sargau Lokesmin. All the living entities in this world are of two types, Krishna says. Devam Asuram Evacha. They are divine and they are demoniac. Either of these two categories they fall into. And you have heard about Deva nature, and now you hear the Asuric nature, Krishna says. As he said before, in the last verse if you see, Krishna talked about that everything has come from Ajnanam, isn't it? Ajnanam means what? Ignorance, isn't it? Ignorance of what? That's also we have to say, ignorance of Krishna. That is what it is. Otherwise, Krishna's control on us or Krishna's presence in us is not recognized. That's ajnanam. Like the example was always given, isn't it? You may have so many qualities here in this world. So many qualities. They are just like so many zeros if you put. What is the value? It's all zeros at the end, isn't it? But that one, at the very beginning, if you have that one there, then all the zeros you put after that has some value, isn't it? Otherwise, without that one, if you keep adding zeros, it will all be zeros at the end only, isn't it? value zero. So that one is important. Similarly, in all these things, what Krishna says here is this. Unless we recognize Krishna's value there, that one, Krishna, everything else will become valuable along with that. They all have its own value. But if we don't take Krishna into account and only act our own way, then that will have no value. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. The importance of, and that is that ajnanam, Krishna is saying that. The ajnani or ignorant person, he doesn't have that one there. He has got so many things, all zeros he has got. There's no value for that. That's what Krishna is pointing out. That through that one, you have to know everything. Through Krishna, in other words, you have to know everything. Otherwise, it is not possible. Krishna says that the ajnanam javijadasya, Krishna says ajnanam, from ajnanam only it has come everything. Krishna stresses that point very much. Ajnanam javijadasya parthasambalam asuriyam, Krishna says there. That, and there all these dambam, darpam, abhimanam, krotham, pairushyam, all these things has come from ajnanam only. And if ajnanam is there, only the cause for that is Krishna is not there. That is what ajnanam means. That Krishna is not there in their heart. And therefore they are able to do all these things. They are demoniac, Krishna says. So while coming to this verse, Krishna says here that Devi Sambad Vimokshaya and Asurim, Dosarga Buddha Sargo Logesmin Deva Masaram Evaja Deva Vistarasha Prokta Asaram Parthame Shrudu. That one has to know the demoniac nature very well. Only if you know them, you can get rid of them. Only when the demoniac nature goes away, the divine nature will build up in a person. When the divine nature builds up in a person, automatically he gets released from the material existence and realization of the spiritual knowledge. Therefore, one should know the demoniac nature very well, Krishna says. Therefore, I am going to describe the demoniac nature now, Krishna says. That is how he starts here. From the verse 7. Verse 7, the demoniac nature, Krishna is going to talk. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Because when we start reading them only, we realize how demoniac we are. Up to that point, we are thinking we are devotees. This is the most interesting thing about these verses. When you start reading them, it all perfectly tallies with me. There's not much of a difference. And now only we think, then who is the devotee? Then we start asking. Basically, it is correct also. Why? 99.9% of this world is demons. That is the reality. We all pose as devotees, but that is another story. The fact is that our activities and our mind is such, because these demonic qualities have developed in us so strongly that we can't even know it exists there. It is to that extent it is deep in us. And we put a cover to all these things, and in a polish way we try to present it to the world that we are all very pure souls and this, that and the other. But that doesn't help. What Krishna says is important. Pravartinja nivartinja janana vidura asuraha na shaujam na vijagaro na satyam teshu vidyade. Krishna says, first thing about these demons is like this, he says. Pravartinja nivartinja janana vidura asuraha. Important thing about them is, they do not know what to do and what not to do. First thing. They don't know what to do and what not to do. And everything what they do, these two things, pravritti and nivritti. You see, pravritti and nivritti. We must know these two words very well. Pravritti means that activity which binds you to this world. Which binds you to this world. Pravritti, that's what it is. Pravritti means that binds you to this world. In other words, we entangle ourselves more to this, increase our material existence, isn't it? That's material life. Material life. Nivritti means that releases you from this world, material existence. That's called a nivritti. And the asuric nature, Krishna is saying here, pravartincha nivartincha, pravarti and nivritti, jana na vidura asura. Asuras do not know what is pravarti and what is nivritti. For them, everything in this life is a deal. I have to make money out of this. I have to beat that person. I have to somehow get it out of the way. This way their mind works. Because they can't see anything beyond than that. His mind is, this world has, the whole verses from now on, if you read this, you will see there, the mentality of that demoniac nature, that everything in this world is a game for him. There is no principles involved in anything. It's a game you play here. Pravartincha nivartincha janana vidurasura na shaujam na bijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. Krishna says, what is their main attributes to these great personalities? Na shaujam, no cleanliness. Cleanliness inside or outside, no cleanliness. Not only that, na bijajaro, nor ajaram also. Their ajarams are so bad. Ajaram means their habits are also so bad. That na satyam teshu vidyade, there is no truthfulness in their life also. You can imagine a life like that. Na shaujam, na bijajaro, na satyam teshu vidyade. That they have no truthfulness, they have no cleanliness, and they also do not have any good habits either. For them, they have already come to this world with these vasanas inside. They have come here with these vasanas. And all they are trying to do in this world is to display these vasanas, what they have inside, and use them to manipulate the world wherever. Because their understanding is, this world is meant for my enjoyment. There is no controller here. It's me, I have come here now. So look around, see what you can do here the best. And with these objects in their mind, with these understanding in their mind, they start their work in this world. That's what Krishna is saying here. That whatever knowledge you may have, if the mind is like this, what is the use? Krishna says, because the real happiness for a living entity will come only when it gets released from material existence. That so for a person who wants to go in that direction, first thing he has to know is the knowledge of what to do and what not to do. Pravritti and nivritti he has to do. But if he does not have that, that means he does not have the basic knowledge of things properly. In the process of that, what will happen is, often he will fall into the association of people who have no discrimination and will be driven by them as well. Is there any other higher stupidity than that? That's what Krishna is saying there. Because the result of all that is, he will have to suffer again and again for many, many lifetimes. As far as he is concerned, then the purification of the body, purification of the mind, purification of his words, good habits, truthfulness and all that, you will never find in them. Because as far as he is concerned, he will consider even telling truth and telling lies only as a tactic to achieve his ultimate goal of whatever he has. That's how he sees the truth. He says truth should be spoken if it's beneficial to him materially. That's how he sees the truth as. You see? And similarly, he will only think all these qualities are necessary. Activities also in the same way. If it is benefiting him for his sense gratification or material desires to fulfill, then he considers that as dharmic, as based on, for him that is proper behavior. So people who have that kind of vision, there are a lot of people like this, and people do get confused in these things because of the way we have developed a society in the modern world. Pravartinja nivartinja janana vidurasura. Janana vidurasura. Krishna says asuras do not know what is pravarti and what is nivarti. Why? Because they have not recognized me as a higher authority controlling the life in this world. You see? That is where it is originating from. It comes from that, not recognizing Krishna's role in the creation. Na shaujam na bijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. Na shaujam, no cleanliness, no ajaram, na satyam teshu vidyade. And Krishna says that this is their first outlook in life, that they think like this, that there is no need for any of these things. They are not convinced about that. They do not know what to do and what not to do. And they act in such a way that you will find that they are motivated by their own happiness in this world, which they consider as happiness. Compare this, what Krishna has spoken in the beginning, What did Krishna say? Parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyatha. If one has to be happy in this world, Krishna says, you cannot be inconsiderate to others. By offering your results to, sacrificing your results to Krishna, Krishna says, the demigods will in return, they will shower you with happiness in this world. That is the system what Krishna has set up. But we have rejected that. Therefore we have problems also. Because of that there is no happiness in life. Always distressed, always morose, and always in anxiety. This is what the modern life is all about, isn't it? And where is the happiness in this life today? Majority of the people are suffering one way or the other, continuously under anxiety about life. And unable to enjoy the life, unable to find any happiness from this life. Why? Because of this only. That we have completely discarded Krishna's instructions. Bhagavad Gita is only given a lot of stress on yajna and sacrifice for this reason. And when that is not forthcoming, even from the leaders, for them also it's a game, isn't it? Politics is a game. This is a game. That's a game. Everywhere we have to win. Propaganda. And win the battle. Beat the other person somehow. Get into the position. And then again manipulate people. What is this? Where is this going to end? Where is Krishna consciousness in all these things? So those persons, that's what I'm saying. When you read through these verses, it will be very difficult to find one who does not fall into this category. That's the modern world. It is so frightening it is when you think about it. Here is a world, Krishna is telling us that this is what is the quality is what is required. And this is what will, and the fate of such people, Krishna talks about it later. What will happen to these personalities who have this kind of mind, who has this kind of mind, who is created like this. That whether it is politics, whether it is industry or business or any field in this world, this is the type of people because they have no other choice now, because it's been gone so demoniac in that way that they drag everyone into this and you have no freedom. It is so difficult to, because they can't even see what is right and what is wrong. That is a sad thing. That is why Krishna is saying there. The first quality of such a person is pravartinja nivartinja janana vidura asuraha. These asuras will never know what is pravarti and what is nivarti. And they are the people who are driving others also into the same hell. Na saujam na vijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. And where did this come from? Next word says, asatyam apradishtam de jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhudam kimanye kamahedugam. Very beautiful, Krishna's words. Asatyam apradishtam de, as far as they're concerned, this world is a, has no origin. How it originated, it doesn't matter to us. It's there now at the moment. I've come here, that's more important. I've come here now, I have to exploit the world for my advantage. That's the teaching, isn't it? That's why we are trained to think in the schools and colleges. This is what has been put into our mind. Your career building business in this world. Asatyam pradishtam de. Asatyam. This world is false. There is no truth. There is no meaning for all these values, principles, what you are talking about. Krishna says like this. The demoniac nature. Apradishtam de. It has no pradishta. There is nothing permanent here. We come here, we do what we have to do, and we go from here. Jagadahur anishwaram. All creation, Krishna says, anishwaram. Anishwaram means there is no controller of this world. There is no controller in this world. Krishna says that's how they think about themselves. Then what else? Aparaspara sambhudam kimanyer kamahedugam. Aparaspara sambhudam. That this world has come into existence, Krishna says, the world has come into existence. They see, this is how they interpret the world. That's the most important thing. This is how they interpret the world. All this has been created for our convenience. For our convenience. That's how they see it. And there is no system in this world. There is no God. There is no there is no Vedic literature. Who knows what this Vedic literatures are? And there is no necessity to help each other. Why one has to cooperate with others? I look after myself. And in this way, this is the basis of everything. Everything is based on one thing only, his desires. That's all. That is the basis of all these things. How he works in this world. He works in this world on this one principle. The principle is that his own desires is the basis. That's the basis on which he builds everything else. So Krishna says there, asatyam apratishtande jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhodam kimanyair kamahedugam kamahedugam. That is how the things are spoken there. And Krishna says here that the in this particular verse that according to them, only the foolish people will believe them. Which one? The Vedic literature and Krishna's instructions. Because the authority of Vedas and on their authority, the demonic people will have no faith in them or no serious desire to accept them. But sometimes they will use the same Vedic literature if it suits them. That also they will do. If it is suitable for them, they will utilize it also. And strictly speaking, the Krishna consciousness is an understanding that the dharmam is the basis on which everything has been built. If you remember, Mahabharatam talks about only four things there. It isn't it? Dharmam, artham, kamam and moksham. Four things are spoken in Mahabharatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam is a higher advanced understanding than that. But Mahabharatam, where Bhagavad Gita comes from, dharmam has been given a great importance there. Why? Because the Vedic system is based on these four things. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, which is religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. How are these four things connected to each other? That we should know. How they are connected to each other. For all these four things, the underlying thing is dharma. Underlying thing is dharma. Or in other words, the basis is dharma. Or the foundation is dharma. So if you want economic development, if you want sense gratification, if you want liberation also, the foundation for which is dharma. It is on dharmam the other three things are built up. If one rejects dharmam and all thinks about the other three things, then it is not going to go in the right way. That is why dharmam is given the first priority in the Mahabharatam. Dharmam is the foundation. Krishna says, you can have economic development, but economic development should be based on dharma. Development should be based on dharma. You can have sense gratification, but sense gratification should be based on dharma. If you give 25% to dharma, 25% to kamam, artham, 25% to dharma, 25% to artham, 25% to kamam. If all these things are executed properly according to Krishna's instructions, then the last 25% Krishna will offer to you freely, which is liberation. That is the Varnashrama Dharmam is based on that principle. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham. So, Dharmartha, Kamam, Moksham. These four things, they work like this, together. 25% each. First 75% you have to achieve. The last 25% Krishna will offer it to you. That is the subsidy or what you call it. You know, in the government sometimes brings out this kind of things, isn't it? That they'll say that we want to help the farmers. Farmers should put in so much money and the government will put so much into it. Some development project or something, whatever it is. So there, this is what happened. The same thing Krishna also says. This first 75% you achieve it by your efforts. The last 25% will come from me. But that was Mahabharatam times. Mahabharatam is teaching this one great principle through 125,000 verses. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. That's what is discussed there. But when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, it has gone beyond than that. Because by the time Bhagavatam was taken seriously, dharmam has gone from this world. Dharmam walked out the day Krishna left this world. Brahman also left this world. And that is why we are able to act so freely in a demoniac way. In a demoniac way. And therefore, here, now the shelter is Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no other shelter. Simply hearing about Krishna is the only shelter today in this society, in the modern world. That is why Bhagavatam is for this age. Srimad Bhagavatam is for this age. For this reason only. So, here, Krishna says here, that they do not even accept that there is someone who is a creator in this world. And they also believe that everything in this world is completely dependent on their effort, what they put into it. Nothing more than that. So therefore, truthfulness, dharma, all these things, they have no value and no need for showing mercy to other living entities. And as long as it fulfills their desires, they think they have done it very well and they appreciate each other on that basis. And if you ask them that how come all these living entities have come to this world, they will say that has only come due to the man-woman relationship, nothing else. This is their attitude. In order to fulfill their desires, they are willing to do anything up to the point of exploiting the material nature to whatever degree is necessary. You can do anything whatever you like, but the cause of everything is desires. This is the world. This is how they see this world. In other words, this is how they see this world. Asatyam apradishtam de jagadahuran ishwaram aparaspara sambhudam kibanyer kamahedugam. Then, in the next verse, edam drishtim avashtabhya nashtalma alpabuddhaya pravavadyugrakarma nakshayaya jagadohidaha. How they see this world. That is also interesting. Now, first Krishna has spoken about them. How they act in this world, how they see this world. And now in the next verse, Krishna is going to say that they see this world in this way. Krishna says, what is that? Edam drishti mamashtabhyam ashta alpabuddhayam. Their attitude is such that they will prabhavan yugra karmanam kshayaya jagado hidaham. That due to their such ignorance, such deep-rooted ignorance, blind and stupid philosophy what they have in their head, and based on their own opinions, and they sustain their life on that basis, the result that they will lose their intelligence. They will lose their intelligence and they'll become so stupid that they can't act anymore properly. Alpabuddhi, they call it, alpabuddhi. And what will happen? They will not be able to, because of their ignorance, that they will not be able to see the reality in anything. That is another thing. And naturally all the activities what they perform after that will also be the similar. And they'll become, all their activities will become dangerous and disturbing to the whole world. But 1 minute they will not stay quiet. All the time they will be engaged in activities which are meant for destroying the world, and at the same time they will create more and more havoc in this world. Now, when you read this verse, edam drishtam avashtabhya nashtalma alpabuddhaya, everything is very straightforward. Prabhavandi ugrakarmanam kshayaya jagado hidam. All their activities are very demoniac. Ugrakarmam, as it is called. Actually, it is about these people. In the Bhagavatam, you will see Mother Earth is crying about. Do you remember? Mother Earth was crying, isn't it? She went to the complaint to Lord Brahma. She went to complain to Lord Brahma. That this is my... First she complained to the demigods. And the demigods with Mother Earth went to Brahma. And Brahma went to Lord Shiva, and then all together went to Lord Vishnu. All this is there before Krishna's appearance in the Bhagavatam. So there you will notice, Bhumi Devi was complaining. About whom? About these people. These are the people Bhumi Devi is complaining about. Again, at the end of Bhagavatam, you will see Bhumi Gita, it is called. It's called Bhumi Gita, the 12th canto, I think. It comes to 12th canto. Bhumi Devi speaks about people who have come here and who have tried to destroy her and give trouble in this world. and their activities, how it has disturbed people. So all this is only to indicate that that Bhumi Devi's crying in the Bhagavatam is nothing but is about these people who have created a difficult life for her. In many other Puranas also, Bhumi Devi never cries about the increased number of people. Have you ever heard Bhumi Devi crying, "There are too many people on my earth"? Never. Never once she cried. But she cries about these people, people like this. A small number is enough for her to create a hellish condition for her. Whereas in our modern world, we say, activities are not important, we have to control the number, isn't it? Number is more important, we consider. We consider that's what's causing the problem. According to our ruined brain or destroyed brain. Because the brain has become like this. It has accepted that, you see. You can see where the difference, the Vedic thinking and the modern thinking, where the difference is. Vedic thinking goes much more deep into the problem and brings out the fundamental issues. Whereas modern thinking is all superficial. All superficial. What I see, oh, there's so many people, there's not enough food, so go for birth control. Go for birth control. And so many nonsensical activities from that. Killing children, children killing each other, all sorts of things. So, this whole thing is the lack of proper understanding. Bhumi Devi, throughout her history, till now, from creation, she has never once cried, complaining about the population. Not once she has cried. But she has always cried when she was disturbed by this demoniac population. That is the most interesting thing. And that's why the Krishna is saying like this. Kamamashratya duspuram dambhama anamada anvidaha mohan grihitvasal grahan pravartande ashuchivradaha. Next verse. Kamamashratya duspuram dambhama anamada anvidaha mohan grihitvasal grahan pravartande ashuchivradaha. Their desires. That's something Krishna likes to discuss. The desire of these people. Krishna says, their desires never gets satisfied. In other words, their desires are so unlimited. Kamamashritya dushpuram dushpuram. It cannot be fulfilled. Krishna says, I can't even fulfill their desires. It is so unlimited. The desire is burning inside all the time. The result was dambhamanamadanyudaha. Dambham and abhimanam. I am the doer and then the pride in their head. All these things. Mohan grihitvasal grahal pravartande ashuchivradaha. Not only that, because of these moham in their head, they have taken to such process, they take to such livelihood in this world. They take to such methods of livelihood. Asat grahal, asat, which means they take to such, such way of life in this world. Achuchi pradaha, they have no cleanliness, they have no purity in their work, in their consciousness while working. Because all their work is either ugra karmam or exploitation of the nature or entangled in all this kind of cheating and lying. Such business activities. All this is what is that life what they have got. You see. And because of that, mohan grihitu asal grahan, asad grahan, because of holding on to this asad, Krishna says. Because there is no satyam for them, no truthfulness, they don't believe in that. So when human society degrades in that way, starts getting degraded in this way, a stage comes when it is not possible to repair them anymore. Because the whole society has become like that. What do you do? That is why this Varnashrama Dharma becomes necessary. This is what was the beauty of Varnashrama Dharma, protected the society like this. When you have a division of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, at least the top people, one group of people in the society, if they had these qualities, at least the remainder of the society will be influenced by them to some extent. And they will, because of the way the society is divided, you can see why Varnashrama Dharma is necessary. When Varnashrama Dharma doesn't exist, what happens? Everything will be this category. What is mentioned here? Kamamashakti Dushpuran, Dambhamana Madanida, Mohan, Grihit, Asalgrahan, Pravartande, Ashishi Vradaha. This is the nature of the people. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the desires which is in everyone, but those with knowledge, they will be able to control their desires. Those who have knowledge. And that is the class of the Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is based on that principle. That they are free from material desires. And that is their quality. So, here there is a story that once a king was in the country ruling somewhere. So there was one barber in that country. And this barber, he has, while walking through the one forest, he heard, suddenly underneath a tree, he heard a voice from the sky saying that there are some seven pots lying there. If you want, you can take all of them. That was the voice. He went and looked into the pots and he found there were gold coins in all of them. All the six pots were filled with gold coins. And the seventh pot was half filled with gold coins. Seventh pot was half filled with gold coins. Golden jars, you can call it. The jars filled with gold coins. So the voice said, you can take all of them provided you can fill the seventh jar also with gold coins. Like the other six jars were full with gold coins. If you can, you can take all seven of them and take them home. The moment you fill the seventh jar with gold coins, you can start using them. Otherwise, you shouldn't use them. That was the voice. It gave an option for him whether to take it or not to take it. Naturally, with his limited knowledge, you know what he will do. He took it without any further thoughts, brought it home. So this barber happens to work for the king in the palace. So when he brought these jars home, his mind started working. How to fill the seventh jar? How to fill the seventh jar? This became the main idea. So he started thinking, he said, I should ask a wage increase from the king. First, he went up to the king and told him, didn't tell him about any of these things. Ask for a wage increase. He said, it is getting difficult. You see, in the king's rule, it's not like today, where you get annual wage rise or anything, not connected with inflation and all that. These things didn't exist those days. You are told this is what you get, you live on that, that's it. And there was no inflation also like this. So, this wage increases happen because of inflation only, isn't it? You need the wage increase, otherwise how will you pay for it? So anyway, that's another thing. But here what he says is that so, the king says to him, okay, I'll give you a wage increase. Seeing his desperate situation, he gets some money, and he was not spending any money. All the money he was saving up to fill the gold jar. So he did that, and he waited again. After still the jar is not getting filled, so what he does is, he goes back to the king again, asks for a second increase of the wages. So when he asked for the second time, the king said, I give you a wage increase recently, why are you asking again? He said, oh, my needs have gone up, my family is growing up and this, that and the other. He gave him a second time another wage increase to him. Again, the jar is not getting filled because he has to get more money to fill the jar with the gold coins, isn't it? So, the desires are like that. Once it starts, there is no end. It goes up, up, up. It never finishes. Third time when he went back to the king and told him for another wage increase, the answer from the king was like this. What happened to you? Have you got that seven jars with you or what? He says to him. Because king already knew about this. What was in his kingdom, he knew what was going on. And the king told him, take the jars, go there and put the jars back where they were and go and stay at home peacefully. You won't have any problem after that, he said. So, the important lesson to learn is this, that kamamashartya dushpuram dambhamanam adanyinaha. മോഹാൻ ഗൃഹീത്തു അസൽഗ്രഹാൻ പ്രവർത്തന്തി അശുചിപ്രദാഹ. വെരി വെരി ബേസിക് പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾസ് ഇൻ ലൈഫ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, ബട്ട് ഫാർ അവേ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ദ മോഡേൺ വേൾഡ് ഈസ്. So that is why our Krishna consciousness is also is going so slowly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.